Okay, if y'all will, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to do something this morning, maybe a little different than we've had before. But first off, I appreciate you being in the class. Because if y'all don't come to class, we ain't got no class. Y'all are the class. I'm just a go-between. And as I'm teaching you, I'm also teaching myself. And y'all know I'm a bad habit. A terrible bad habit. I just simply believe the book means what it says. Now, I may not understand it all. I may not make you understand it. But all I want you to do is to believe what God says. And if you'll believe what the verse says, then you'll have more understanding of what God's doing. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the place you provided for us, and we pray for the business that operates here. You meet their needs. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We uphold them to thee, and we know that you can heal these people according to your will. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your spirit, to build us up in the faith, that we may be a better witness for thee. And Father, let us not be dismayed about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we thank you for preserving your word for us. And we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself through your word. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, I'm going to stop right there for a second, but I want you to see something here. Hold Timothy and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know that salvation is first. I know there's a reason for salvation being first. In other words, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, Jesus Christ died for all men. So Paul said that prayer and supplication for all men. It don't matter who they are, big, little, or small, or what. We should pray for all men. What should we pray for? That all men get saved. You understand? Well, the only way all men can get saved is by preaching what happened at Calvary when Jesus Christ shed his blood, which is God's blood. He shed for all men, and especially us in Romans to Philemon. We have now received this atonement. You understand? Those in Genesis, well, this thing ain't showing up very good. Those in Genesis, back here in the Old Testament, to Malachi, those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those that have trusted that this was the Son of God, those that believed back here what God told them, these in here that believed that this was the King, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, they will get atonement at the second coming. We've already received this atonement because we were resurrected with him, and we ascended up on high with him and seated at the right hand of God with him. Not only with him, but in him. We were spiritually baptized into his body. When the body was put in the tomb, he left his body by the Spirit, went in the heart of the earth. He preached to those prisoners down there. He came up, spent 40 days and 40 nights with the 12 apostles, and they saw him as he went out of sight up there. And the angel said, he'll so come in like manner over here. They didn't say anything about Romans to Philemon. Not one word. So, this is a mystery. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Let's start in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Not in the flesh now. You ain't going to perfect your flesh. You can forget about the flesh. The flesh was crucified at Calvary. The flesh was cut away, done away with. God said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. So we are new creatures in Christ, and I reckon this flesh gone. You understand? I know I'm still in it. And I think about Johnny Cash, the last song, I reckon the last song he wrote, he's just about dead. And he said, when I woke up this morning, I pinched myself to see if I could still feel. In other words, he's about dead. I don't worry about my flesh. I know my flesh is sorry. So I reckon it dead. Now, that's one of the truths that Paul's talking about in 1 Timothy. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, there's a lot of truth that people never come unto the knowledge of. Just like the rapture. A lot of people think the rapture is in Matthew 24, and they think the second coming and the rapture are the same. That ain't so. We go out, God deals with Israel in the 7-year tribulation over here. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God will set up his kingdom. Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There'll be no more demoniac spirits teaching you. Or not me, but those over here. You understand? Matthew 28 will be preached over here. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, you'll find this in Isaiah 64. As it is written, eye hath not seen, the ear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. How does God reveal to you the truth? By his Spirit. Well, wait a minute. What if you don't have the Spirit of God? Is God going to reveal that to a lost person? That's why salvation is first. You understand? God would have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now watch what he says there.
Amen.
In verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now hold forth. Where would the Spirit guide you to search?
Right in the pages.
Would he tell you, go out yonder in this mountain up here and climb to the top of this mountain and I'll meet you there? I know some people, and one friend of mine, his son left. His daddy worked at Scott. This kid didn't work at Scott, but his daddy did. This man's son went out west with a bunch of people, went up on some tall mountain out yonder. They quit their jobs. They sat down waiting on the Lord to come get them. You know what happened? That young man finally come home, had to move in with daddy. Daddy had to start taking care of him again. He forsook everything he had. They got in the wrong dispensation, beloved. People back here to say, well, we believe in following Jesus ourselves. Well, you can't do that. It ain't meant for you to do that, and the Holy Spirit will not guide you into doing that. Now watch what he says here. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's how I know y'all just as sore as I am. Yeah, I do. I know how you are. I know what I am. I know what man does. How do I know that? By that spirit that I have. Not the Holy Spirit, but the spirit that I'm born with. Same the spirit that you're born with. And if you ain't saved, you don't have the Spirit of God. Now watch what he says here. verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Can we know the things that God would have us to know?
Yes.
Like come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
Now you're saved. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit's baptized you into this body. He sealed you all the way around. It ain't got no end, no beginning. It's eternal. This circle has no beginning and no end. It's eternal. So we're eternal time past and eternal time future in Christ. Now, watch what he does here. Verse 12. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Who teaches us the Bible? Do what now? Y'all scared to answer? Y'all afraid you're going to... I used to go to Thursday night class. Brother Moore would ask a question, I'd answer it, and I'd stick my foot in my mouth a lot of times because I had the wrong answer. Y'all scared to answer, ain't you?
Holy Spirit.
How does God reveal this to you by His Spirit? By searching it, as those in Acts chapter 17 that it be real. They were more noble than those that were in Thessalonica. Why? They received the Word of God with all readiness and they searched the Scriptures. Do you ever search the Scriptures when you leave here on Sunday to see if I've lied to you or not? Have you? I remember sitting back right there one Tuesday night. I had preached on something on a Sunday morning. Tuesday night, Brother Moore had a class in this place right here. And I taught on something Sunday morning wrong. I was wrong, not by choice, but I did not fully understand what was going on in the verse. Unbeknownst to Brother Moore, he taught on the same thing Tuesday night, and that man sitting right back yonder, and I was sitting two seats down from him, when he straightened it out, all he done is like this here. He didn't say nothing. When he looked down at me, I was looking down at him because I knew he'd caught it. Well, I was in error. But when I saw the truth, I quit teaching the error. You understand? We got some preachers that know they're in error, but their pride is keeping them from saying, hey, I've been wrong all these years. God Almighty has showed me that I've been wrong. Now I've got to change whether it hurts you or me or not. Mm. And I know a preacher that's got a school. He sends out preachers to teach what he's taught them, and they are out teaching in error. Mm. And I do not believe the Holy Spirit sent them to do that. If you'll study Jeremiah and other places, you'll find out that God does not tell a man to go and lie. What are we to do? Preach the truth. Preach the truth. Now watch what he says here. Verse 14. Well, I apologize. Let's go to verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I don't compare what God said against what Dr. Snodgrass says, you understand? And I don't necessarily compare it by what other preachers say. I compare what God says. God, what are you telling me here? God, what is this verse about? I pray about it and I study it. And God will show me the answer to the thing, and most of the time the answer's right there. I have caught myself, and this ain't no lie, I have caught myself running from one chapter to another and back and forth and just get frustrated and come back to where I started Bam! There's the answer right there where I started at. How did I see it? By the leadership of the Spirit guiding me into it. Right. Now watch what he says. Verse 14. But the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They are foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. Now listen to me. The natural man is unsaved. You understand? God will have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. Salvation's first. Always has been, always will be. Then and then only, if you study, and by the way, I don't believe God's going to show you nothing out of Satan's books. Now, you may get some tidbits out of there. You may go to my garbage can and get a little bit of food out that's fit to eat. But who in the world wants to play around in a garbage can? Mm-hmm. Not when you've got the completed Word of God right here in a 1611 King James Bible, and you can put your faith and trust in it and believe it means what it says. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 14, the natural man receiving the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, God will share these things with you. With all that in mind, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You see, all you got to do is by faith believe God means what he says. Do you have the faith to believe God means what he says? You sure about that? You know, you try to share the truth to some people and they won't argue. You know why? They've never been taught the truth. It's hard for them to see it. Well, I've been doing this for 50 years this way. Our church does it this way. We've been doing it since Grandma was in that church. Well, that's sad. They ought to have been doing it right. Now, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. How many gods are there? Now, y'all sure about that? You're positive about that? Well, let me show you a bunch of other gods. See, I believe there's more than one God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I believe Paul believed there was more than one God. I believe Paul met a bunch of them. I believe Paul wrestled with a bunch of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. Did Paul say there are gods many in the world?
Yes.
Well, if you study 1 Timothy 1:17, you'll find that Paul said there's only one wise God. Jude verse 25 says, only one wise God. You understand? Only one wise God. You got some gods that can't even talk. You got some gods in this world that can't hear. You got some gods in this world that can't see. They can't move about. I know according to the Old Testament scriptures, God moved all over the place. He led Israel for 40 years. A cloud by day and a fire by night. Our God's a consuming fire. In other words, if back in the Old Testament anybody made a sacrifice to God, if it was an acceptable sacrifice, the fire came down and consumed it. That's why Cain was so jealous of Abel. God had respect to Abel's sacrifice, but under Cain's he didn't have no respect. You know why? Cain trying to save his own self by his own doing. And you can't do that. And you got churches by the thousands that are trying to get people to do good to get saved, and it won't work. You understand? God would have all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. There ain't but one God. Look what Paul said there in the next verse. But verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. You see, God will have all men to be saved and come under the knowledge of the truth. All men don't have that knowledge. Now let me show you something about these gods here. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Well, evidently they didn't know God, did they? It's unknown to them. Verse, the last part of verse 22. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Do we have people ignorantly worshiping God today?
Yes.
They sure are. And I feel so sorry for them. Because if somebody don't get the truth to them, they're going to die and go to hell. And when they stand before the judgment seat of the white, great white throne judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, but the great white throne judgment, God's going to say, cast them into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And if you don't want your loved ones there, do you? Tell them the truth. What do they need to do? They need to be saved. Then show them the truth. Don't try to show them right division. You can't show right division to an unsaved person. It's foolishness to him. What do you do for an unsaved person? Show them what the gospel of Christ is. That when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, paid for all their sins, if you'll put your faith and trust in him, God Almighty will save you. But according to 2 Thessalonians, all men have not faith. So what do you need to do? You need to, well, I don't know nothing about that. I don't know why you bow down to this statue here, or you do this or that, or make the sign of a cross while you're looking at a dead Jew on a stick. All I know is that Jesus Christ died for you and he paid for your sins. If you'll trust Christ, God will save you. Then teach him the truth. Teach him the truth. Now watch what he says here. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him, this God, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And you can use that a whole bunch of ways. Does God dwell in these idols? He told Isaiah, he said, I'll not give my glory to nobody. You understand? He doesn't give his glory to images. Verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands. And you know what I believe the men's hands is here? Those that make idols. Go over to chapter 19. Acts 19. Verse 21. Let's start in verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And there, and the same time, There arose no small stir about that way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and in other words, they're making idols, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded." Now watch what he said. "Turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands." How can you make a god? Huh? God that created everything that we can see in the heavens and the earth and all. Not the buildings, and I'm talking about the trees and the animals. And you can forget evolution. I like to watch nature on TV, but boy, when they come up with these tadpoles and evolved into this evolution, no, God created everything you know that's around. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 27, "So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." Boy, ain't that something? You see anything here? Y'all study Ezekiel chapter 8 along this line right here, what God told Ezekiel to go in there and see what the great abominations they do in my temple, in my house. You ought to see it. Verse 28. "And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Beloved, this, Paul wrote a letter to some Ephesians here that was involved in this thing here. They were not worshiping God. They were worshiping a rock that fell down from Jupiter, and they built a temple for that thing. And that's what they are worshiping. They're not worshiping God through that. They are worshiping that. Those in, that we read about in Acts 17 were worshiping God ignorantly. So Paul, I suspect some of those believed what Paul told them. Now watch what happens here in Acts 19. Now, go to verse 27 again. "So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard these things, they were full of wrath, cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion." Well, you know what? I find out Paul said God ain't the author of confusion. Amen. Was that whole city in confusion? Well, you know who the author of confusion is? Yeah. The devil himself. The devil's confusing people today, beloved, ignorant people, sitting and worshiping God through idols and all. And that won't get the job done. One last thing. Go to verse 34 for time's sake. "But when they knew that he was a Jew," talking about Alexander here, "all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Are they worshiping God through this thing? No, they're worshiping this thing. Now, go to Psalms 115. Y'all ought to know this by heart. Psalms 115. "So God would have men to come unto the knowledge of the truth, there ain't but one God." You understand? One God. Now, in Psalms 115, verse 1. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God?" In other words, we can see the heathen's God, but Israel, show me your God. "Well, our God's in the heavens." How do you know that? "Well, I got a book that says he was." Oh yeah, but I got a book that says maybe you ain't. Maybe. You know, put a little doubt on it here and there. Maybe. Verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. You remember what we read back there in Acts?
Yeah.
God's not worshipped by things made with men's hands. He's talking about idols. Verse 5. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Do you believe God hears your prayer? If you didn't believe God would hear your prayer, you wouldn't pray, would you?
Right.
Do you really believe when you pray, God hears that?
Yeah.
You see, I got in trouble at a grace church in this town for preaching that God don't hear out of dispensation prayer. And I don't believe He does. Why? Because Jesus Christ makes intercession for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to the will of God. If you ask me to pray for you, you ain't got to hear me pray for you. I will pray for you. Now, I don't know what to pray for, but God knows what the situation is, and He'll take care of the problem the way He's got it set forth to do. Not because I've changed His mind, and then I think about old poor Hezekiah when I think about asking certain things from God. Be careful what you ask for. You might get it, you know. Hezekiah got 15 years. But I imagine Hezekiah wish he'd kept his mouth shut, got his bags packed, and got ready to leave.
Actually, I watched the news the other day, and it showed the Pope made a proclamation. And he said that God was the God of creation, but that He did not create everything. He was not a God of all creation, and that he was talking about, he believes in evolution. And his
who does?
The Pope. Yeah.
Believes in evolution.
The Pope, and he said that God was not the God of all creation. He said that some things He created, what He created, then there were things that they evolved out of His creation. Well, I figured out He knew this before the foundation of the world. He knew every twat and twiddle was going to be anything.
He sure
created.
Did.
You know, but that was what the Pope
didn't we
said.
Didn't we just read a while ago that God's the creator of all things? But you know what? The Bible says someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God and get glory to God. Some of those that do that at the great white throne, they're going to wind up in the lake of fire. Why? Because they were bad? Because they believe not truth that they might be saved. You see, we got people in this dispensation, and I expect to see the rapture. I'm an old dude, but I expect to see the rapture. I know according to what Paul said, not by signs and wonders that's going on over there in the Holy Land or all these earthquakes or whatever. I believe according to what Paul said, in the latter days of our time, men are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. You can't get through to somebody that's conscience is seared with a hot iron. Do you know years ago how they used to sear a wound with a hot iron? Stop the bleeding. That's all they knew. They didn't have all this coagulating medicine they give people now. And once they give it to you, then they got to reverse it and give you some kind of stuff to make your blood thin out again. Give you rat poison. That's all Coumadin is. It's rat poison. You know what rat poison does to a rat? Makes him bleed to death internally. I had a neighbor, a good friend of mine, was on Coumadin. I wish I hadn't have done it, but I did it. I went to the hospital to see him. I can still see him at night. He begged me to They had him strapped to a bed. They had needles all in him. The man was bleeding to death internally. He told me, he said, Percy, unhook me, get me out of here. They're killing me. The man died the next day. I told him, I said, Joseph, that's his name. He was a Greek from the island of Sicily. He was on Coumadin and he bled to death internally. That stuff is dangerous. I know when Brother Roy had his stroke, some doctor put him on Coumadin. Well, they finally took him to another doctor. He said, who put this man on Coumadin? And they told him, he said, don't give him no more Coumadin. That stuff will kill you. You see, we got a bunch of smart people in this world that just, well, you take this and try it, and if you don't die, we'll try something else. No, look what God says here about these gods in Psalm 115, verse 7. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Did Jesus Christ walk and speak and they handle him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, you know who Jesus Christ is? He's Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Did he talk?
Yeah.
Well, where's he at now? He's above all heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of God. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. You understand? Now, watch what he says here, verse 8. They that make them are like unto them. So, beloved, those people there in Ephesians in Acts chapter 19, you can figure they just like the dumb idol that they made. The thing can't talk, can't speak, can't move, can't do nothing. It just... Y'all ever studied the temple of Dagon? The Ark of God was taken into the house of Dagon. Dagon's an idolatrous god. You know what happened? He got up, Dagon laying on the floor. They picked him up. Huh? And you gonna say that's my god? They picked him up and set him up there the next day. He fell off and ain't nothing in the palm of his hands and stuff. He broke all the pieces. Just in the presence of the Ark of God Almighty. Y'all know what happened when Jesus Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane back here? He said, I am He. And you know what happened? Them people fell over backwards just at His word. I am He. Fell over backwards. Tell me, there ain't a God today? Paul said there ain't but one God. Now, verse 8. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Go to 135. Psalm 135. I'm trying to break into the context here. I just don't know where to do it. But let's start in verse 6. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, and in the earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Who did it? God did. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee. And these words, this token is signs. O Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his servants, who smote great nations, slew mighty kings, Shion, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, all the kingdoms of Canaan. He gave their land for an inheritance, for a heritage, an inheritance to Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people. He will repent Himself concerning His servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Well, how can you bless the Lord today? By believing there ain't but one God. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We ain't going to get through. I believe since they changed this time, that clock's speedy do it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. There is one God, one mediator between God. Who?
Jesus.
The man. Are there more than one mediator? Well, beloved, you got to understand Jesus Christ and the 12 were mediators between God and these people back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many mediators are there here? One. Go to Romans chapter 8. Old 1 Timothy. We get back there. Romans chapter 8. This is why I say that God does not hear out of dispensation prayer. It wouldn't do me no good to pray the prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Thy kingdom come. You know what? You know what I'm doing if I do that? I'm denying Colossians chapter 1. I am already in the kingdom of His dear Son. Why? If I'm already in the kingdom of His dear Son by spiritual baptism, by trusting Christ as my Savior, why would I get down on my knees and pray, Thy kingdom come? Years ago, I used to help coach football down at Navco Park. Navco Vikings. Little kids. Different ages. Well, I helped David Anders, his family owned Anders Bookstore out on Boshell Road, if y'all know it, by the college out there. He was a fireman. He was the main coach. Me and two others helped him. David would ask me to pray. Well, when David would pray, you know what they would pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation. He'd ask me to pray. And I could hear some of them kids starting off. And I'd say, y'all wait a minute. I said, I don't pray that prayer. I just pray for a good safe ball. Both sides of the team, both teams and all have a good friendly game and all. And team mama, she come to me, she said, I thank you for that. I didn't even know she was listening. Next time that David would pray, he'd pray, our Father, which part? You know what? I don't believe it got past the ears of the ones that heard it right there. Watch what he says, verse 26, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Do we have infirmity?
Yes.
Well, one of our infirmities is we don't know what to pray for. You understand? If you call me and tell me to pray for you, you can just thank the Lord right then because I'm going to pray for you. And I think about Brother Moore one time. He was teaching on prayer one time. He said this lady that listened to him on TV called him and said, I'm having this health problem and all, and said, would you pray for me? And he said, yes, ma'am, I'll pray for you. He said, there was silence. He said, well, I reckon she wanted me to hear me pray for her. He said, he told her, said, lady, I'll pray for you. He said, in silence again. You ain't got to hear me pray for you. Listen. If you got to hear me pray for you, I ain't praying to God, I'm praying to you for your benefit. Now watch what he said. Likewise, Spirit helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who makes intercession for us? Jesus Christ does. He takes my prayer to the throne room if it's a dispensational prayer. You understand?
Yeah.
If it's raining real hard out there several days and weeks and it's starting, the water's starting to rise, and I get down on my knees and I say, God, tell me what kind of wood you want me to build this ark out of. You reckon how far that went? Fell right down on the ground. You know what? God done told me back here, I don't need to build an ark. You ain't gonna struggle with water. Well, now if I happen to see a big old fireball coming and everything burning up, I go back to Ezekiel, excuse me, Joel, and I find out the Garden of Eden before them in a desolate, burnt up place behind them, that's over here. So I know I'm gonna be gone before it gets to me.
Amen.
You understand? I'm not appointed on the wrath. That's one of the truths people don't come unto. We got some preachers that's saying we're going into the tribulation over here, and we ain't.
Amen.
We're appointed unto salvation. This is the day of salvation. This is the day, regardless of how many thousands of years long it is, this is the day that God set aside for men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth.
That's it.
There's two witnesses got to preach over here in the tribulation, and they can't do that while we're here, because God would have to curse them according to his own word. If he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, let him be accursed, even an angel. Who makes intercession for us? The Lord does. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Do you believe it's due time?
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you something. Now this just fascinates me about this old book. You can't beat this 1611 King James, but I don't give a flip who you are or how you try. You can't beat it. You can tell me there's truths in the NIV and the New King James. Just throw them in the garbage. Get you one Bible, a 1611 King James Bible, and believe it means what it says. Go to Titus chapter 1. Let me show you something. Oh, you're holding Timothy. We got a minute or two here. If that clock was plugged in, I'd unplug it, but it's got a battery in it. Maybe it'll go dead before we get there. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Can God lie? If God told you, if you'll trust my son and believe that when he died at Calvary he paid for all your sins and I'll save you and baptize you into the body and see you to the day of redemption, can he change that word?
No,
he can't. Well, what if you do something bad? Still can't change his word. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Once you're blessed, you can't be cursed.
Amen.
God can't curse you.
Amen.
Now you may curse God, but he can't curse you. You understand? Now, watch what it says, verse 3. Titus 1, verse 3. But hath in due what?
Times.
Hold a fort. We got a problem with this 1611. There it is right there. I knew there was a problem in this book. Go back to whole Titus. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due what?
Time.
Now wait a minute. Is time the same as times?
No.
I got about 10 more minutes in this class this morning. Go back to Titus chapter 1 verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Hold the fort. When did God commit times to Paul? I've been doing it for years. I know you get bored, but let's do it one more time today. Ephesians 1:12, in whom you also trusted. Verse 13, he said in Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Did Paul preach and write 6 epistles to those who first trusted in Christ?
Yes.
In due times. Titus is not wrong, beloved. Due times. In the last 7 epistles, he wrote to people that had no hope. They were without God in the world. Due times. And of the 2 groups of people, God made 1 new man. And you can't beat that. So, as long as we're here, what are we supposed to do? Show people how to be saved. Don't show them right division. It's foolishness to them. Show them how to be saved, and then share right division with them. You see, we got a lot of grace preachers that still don't fully understand right division. I know some of them. And I know what they say. You know, some of them reach back here out of the doctrine to those who first trusted in Christ and pick out one item they like to do. Y'all got any idea what that one item is? The Lord's Supper. Well, my goodness, why don't we do the rest of it? 1 Corinthians, I challenge you to study all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Paul said, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. On the first day of the week, take up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And in Galatians chapter 2, Peter told him to remember the poor saints. Paul said, we were forward to do it. We did it. He took up a collection. Why don't we take up a collection this morning for the poor saints in Jerusalem? Y'all think they all rich over there? Mm-hmm. Won't send Haggy some money this morning, a check for them poor saints. Send a Jew back home, maybe he'd have to dodge the bullets and the bombs and all, but we'll get him back home. No, God Almighty said, I'll get him home.
Amen.
Due time, it ain't time for Israel to go home. You know what time we live in now? It's called the dispensation of the grace of God. It was hid in God before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God Almighty knew me. He knew you. He knew whether you would trust Christ as your Savior. He knew if you would not. He knew before the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world, when he knew Jesus Christ was going to come and die, he knew that before the foundation of the world. He knew that he would die for those who first trusted in Christ, and we that were not allied with Israel, no way to get to Israel. Acts 28, Israel's gone. They're cast away. There ain't no more. That's over with. The nation Israel, no more. God won't deal with the nation Israel until the 7-year tribulation, and he can't deal with them while we're here. It's impossible. You say, ain't nothing impossible to God. Yes, it is. You know what's impossible for God to do? Go against his word. It's impossible. God that cannot lie said, someday every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. What are you going to tell God if you get to the judgment seat why you didn't rightly divide the word? What's your excuse? You ain't got none. Well, you know, Lord, I tried to keep the 10 commandments, but you know, every now and then I just broke one. I mean, that wasn't real bad. I just lied a little bit. It wasn't no big lie, just a little bitty white lie. Where does it? You reckon where that got started? A little bitty white lie. I used to lie to my mama all the time, because you know what? If I told the truth, I'd get my butt tore up. And if I got my butt tore up by mama, I got it tore up by Dad when he come home. I try to always be gone when Daddy come home. I just dreaded it. But you know what? I found out that I'd rather get a whooping than a tongue lashing. That tongue lashing never did cease. Sat down at supper. And, boy, why'd you do that? It never shut up. Can't even enjoy my meal. Whipping, it hurt like the dickens, but it's over with after it quit hurting. Not a tongue lashing. Beloved, if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hell ain't never gonna end. Mm. It's eternal. Eternal. We ain't through, but my time's best about over with. There ain't no need to start the rest of it. We'll try to finish this up some other time about coming under the knowledge of this.